For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and we read the verses 11 through 24. And the text of the sermon will be the portion we read this morning. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. And there we read God's holy word. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the sucks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough, and I spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found.' And they began to be merry." So far the reading of the Word of God. Beloved congregation, today we listen to the parable of the so-called prodigal son. And I understood that you have heard several sermons about the parable of the prodigal son this summer. But may it be truth to you, what we read in the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So let us turn to this parable, the so-called prodigal parable of the prodigal son. To understand this parable, it is necessary to mention that this parable forms one whole with the former parables told in this chapter. We should read it as a triple parable. The parable is connected with the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost piece of silver. These three parables are about something or someone that is lost: the lost sheep, the lost piece of silver, and the prodigal or lost son. All three are about seeking what is lost and finding it. It's remarkable, however, that the third parable is not about one son that is lost, but about two. Today we will listen to this parable and pay careful attention to both sons. This morning we will speak about the younger son, the so-called prodigal son, and this evening about the older son. Actually, I say it incorrectly. It's not about the two sons, but about the merciful Father. A Father who had mercy on his two lost sons. And so we will write above this sermon the parable about the merciful Father. Three thoughts. First, left by his son. Secondly, remembered by his son. Thirdly, returned to by his son. The parable about the merciful Father. Left by his son, remembered by his son, returned to by his son. First of all, let us pay attention to the question, who in this parable are meant by the father and the younger son? The Father is God. Not particularly God the Father, distinguished from God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We have to remember that it is clear in the other two parables that the seeking shepherd and the seeking woman pointed to the Lord Jesus. So in this parable, is the Father the Lord Jesus? I think it's clear that in this parable, the Father is God who in Jesus Christ seeks and saves that which was lost. For God can show mercy only through the Lord Jesus Christ. By the younger son is meant the sinners and the publicans, just like in the parable of the lost sheep and the lost piece of silver. The Lord primarily told this parable to the Pharisees and scribes, as we read in verse 2. The Lord Jesus explained to them why he had come into this world, namely to seek and to find which was lost. Now let us turn to verse 12, where we read, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Perhaps you think that the son's request was a bad one. He asked for his portion that he was to receive when his father died. But that is not the case here. You should know that in those days it was not unusual to ask for a portion of the inheritance. He had a right to do so because only the older son could inherit his father's farm. If there were more children, they would have earned a reasonable living. As a result of the people's iniquity and God's judgments, there was not enough food for all the inhabitants of the promised land. So people went abroad to start a new life. The request of the younger son was not so bad as you would think, perhaps. As a rule, the father would have given him 1/3 of the possessions, because the oldest would receive a double portion. The bad behavior of the younger son came after his request, for he did not use his inheritance with the intention to enjoy a normal life, but to live it up and to seek instant gratification. As you read in the following verses, the younger son only had one goal: to get away from his father's house as far as possible. Why this desire? Was it because his father treated him badly? Was his father a stern man, and could the son not develop himself? We can hardly imagine that, if we remember that the father is the image of God. Why did he want to leave home? Because he could not satisfy his own desires. He could not develop himself in the way he preferred. What was his desire? To be without his father. To do the things he liked. This son longed to a life independently of Father's heart, to follow his own desires. Everything in life revolved around his ego. He did not want to be observed by his father. He would like to have his own way. Everything in life depended on the here and now, on what he could inherit. That was enough for him. This is what we see in the younger son. He gathered all together. He collected all. Actually, we should read that he turned all his position into cash. That is how he left home. Children, do you see him go? We do not read of any goodbye. As soon as possible, he left his father's house. I think he did not even look back at his father, who saw him going. He went to a far country, far away from his father's heart. The farther away, the better. He did what he liked to do, breaking all ties with his father. There was no room for any thought about his father. We read at the end of verse 13 that he wasted his substance by righteous living. There was no lack in his life. Neither did he miss his father. He had received the inheritance, and for him that meant more than his father. But every time he spent money, a call came to him. Received from your father. Received from your father. But he didn't want to hear this call. He didn't want to remember that it was a received inheritance, received from his father. No, for him, it was all his own. It was his money. And he alone would dispose of it. We should read it with emphasis, verse 13. He wasted his substance. What lesson can we learn? First of all, that all men are like this prodigal son. What is his main characteristic? That he lived without his father. He lived for here and now. That's like we all do by nature. We are inclined to live for the things we see and enjoy now. We like to enjoy our prosperity. We are people who are inclined to live for what we earn. We earn money and it is ours. We say, I have worked hard for it. But the Lord says to you and me, every dollar you earn is merited by me. Everything you receive is a mercy of God. Do not forget, children. Everything you have, like food, clothes, drink, and all other things you have, are received from God. And we forget so fast. We enjoy the blessings. But do you long for Him who has given you all these blessings? Why is it that we forget this so easily? When you spend your money, why do you not always remember that you have received it from God? For we are like this prodigal son. We have a heart that does not depend on God's heart. A heart that does not seek eternal life, but the temporal things. A heart that is not willing to wait for salvation, but that seeks a happy life here and now. A heart that does not think about the immortal soul. A heart that is not willing to live by God's promises, but wants to receive the inheritance now. Like Dives in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, who has said that he had received his good things in his lifetime. He did not miss God. And that happens in church as well. Probably you do not live like the prodigal son, living extravagantly and miserably. But the preaching of the gospel does not touch you anymore. You live in church, but you live in the world as well, living in two worlds. You are serious enough to spend a few hours a week for the Lord, but your heart is focused on yourself, the world, your desires, and so on. The focus is not on God, and that makes you miserable. That makes you like the prodigal son. You are lost if God's commandments and His kingdom do not dominate your life. You are lost if you do not want to bow before the Lord. You are lost if you always say, "But I want this, and I think this, and I do it my way." Perhaps you read the Bible. I hope so. But you do not listen really. You do not obey God's commandments. You do not repent. You hear about sin and punishment, but you do not see it in your life. You hear God's word, but you do not consider it. There is no earnest prayer to God, because deep inside you do not want to live of holiness. The Lord says to you this morning, you are lost. You are making yourself ripe for destruction. Have you ever seen your need? We need the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Then our eyes will be opened. Otherwise, we will not see it, because we are blind. The younger son did not see his need. And to make this worse, there arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to be in want, verse 14. He did not have any money left, and he had wasted his goods. There was no bread for him, and his friends had forsaken him. He is in great need. And you would think, now he will see his need. Now he will see his guilt and his misery. Now he will acknowledge that God punished him. But no, he did not see it. How deeply he was lost. At last, he put his hope in a pig farmer. Maybe this man could help him. He still did not consider his father. He still did not regret his foolishness and iniquity. He still thought he could help himself. He was lost more than ever. He fed swine. Yes, swine. And those who heard this parable first must have been horrified. For feeding swine is an abomination, because swine are unclean according to God's law. According to God's commandments, it was forbidden to mingle with unclean beasts. For then you become unclean before God, and therefore unfit for the service of the Lord. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He was sunk deeply in his miserable condition. That was the misery of the prodigal son. Shall we draw some lines to our hearts? How many times have you heard the Lord's calls, but you did not heed them? Calls by way of setbacks, troubles, or grief that occurred in your life? They all remind us that we live in a world that has forsaken the Lord. We think we can handle the consequences on our own. It reminds us, for here have we no continuing city. Where did it lead you? You went to the doctor for your health. You went to your friend with your problems. You were looking for solutions to get out of trouble. You saw entertainment in times of trouble. That's all you did? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. You are looking for deliverance apart from God, and therefore you remain in great need. The scriptures tells us you are dead. That is what the father said when his son came home. For this my son was dead. His son was dead because he had forsaken God. He did not see it when he went to a far country. And when troubles appeared, he found a suitable solution. But miracle of grace. God confronted him. God called him straight through his sins. God came to him in his goodness and truth. The prodigal son had lost everything. And then arrived that moment that he came to himself. What is that? Coming to yourself. It is like waking up. Waking up from drunkenness. One who is intoxicated has to sleep it off. After that he feels an inner emptiness, a hangover. So it is with sin. We are intoxicated by our disobedience. We are blind through our own fault. The Lord brings sinners to the awareness of what they have done. The prodigal son saw his need. That was not caused by his miserable circumstances. Sure, God sometimes uses trouble to awake people. Calvin said, "Do not think the Lord treats us fiercely, but precisely in order to make us obey Him, although every form of misery that happens to us is a proper instrument in the hand of God to bring us to repentance." When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." His eyes were opened. Suddenly he realized, "I am doomed. Nothing and no one can help me. I will perish of hunger if nothing changes." He did not only acknowledge his need, he acknowledged his guilt as well. Verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." But there's another thing that strikes us. He had hope. He hoped his father would employ him as a servant, a hired man. Verse 19, "And am no more worthy to be called thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants." Maybe you do not hear any hope in this confession. But there is. He acknowledged that he has no rights anymore. He did not only waste his substance, but also lost his position as a child. And yet, he also had hope. Hope that there would be some mercy for him. The mercy of being accepted as a servant. I would like to ask you to pay special attention to this, that he has hope. Because acknowledging of guilt and hope always go together. There is no sincere confession without hope. Because without hope, you see no reason to confess your guilt. A forced confession may be without hope. But if there is hope, you have reason to confess. And that is what the younger son did. He confessed his guilt, for he acknowledged his sin, and he hoped for forgiveness. The prodigal son turned back because he hoped for the mercy of his father. Why did he have some hope? He had hope because of his knowledge of his father. He remembered who his father was. And that's an important lesson, congregation. He turned back to his father because of the living hope in his heart. Living hope arose in his heart, not through a text, not because he had enough conviction of his sin, so he had reason to turn back to his father. No, he had good thoughts of his father. He remembered his father's goodness, mercy, truth, and grace. He remembered his father's judgment, for he knew he had sinned against his father and against God. He acknowledged, because of my sin, no turning back is possible. He acknowledged, I am no more worthy of being called your son. But when he thought about his father's character, he had hope. Without these good thoughts of his father, he had no hope. Without hope, he would never have turned back. Turning again to God, it will never happen if you have no good thoughts of God. If you do not long for reconciliation, what is the starting point of repentance? Not my knowledge of my sin only, but good thoughts about God as well. What makes you repent of your sin? Only if you realize that you have sinned against a good-doing God. Only if you realize that you have sinned against the God of whom you must confess he is good and upright. The prodigal son was humbled. Yes, he was graced with humility. His sins were a burden to him. He really felt his guilt. He wanted to take the lowest place at home. He would ask his father this with the acknowledgement to be without any rights. He admitted that his father would be righteous if he would send his son away. But if he has no rights, why should he turn back to his father? He could stay with the swine as well. No, he could not. Why not? If he thought about his father, his heart was filled with hope. If he thought about his father, he could not stay away any longer. No way remained open, but the way to his father. This is the essence of repentance. If you repent, you do not only confess you are a sinner. If you never confess more than that you are a sinner, you would be still lost. Just remember Judas, Balaam, or Pharaoh. They all confessed their sins, but they did not repent because they did not consider God's goodness. Yes, someone will say, but my knowledge of sins is little. I do not know if I can come to the Lord with such a little knowledge of sin. What is it to have enough knowledge of sin? Your knowledge is enough if you cannot stay in it any longer. Or do you like to remain in your sins? Do you nourish sin rather than stay away from it? Would you like to be lost rather than saved? Is that what you actually say if you do not repent before the Lord? That's what you say. All your yes, but, and arguing are silenced when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes for the goodness of the Lord. This younger son could not argue anymore. He could only do one thing. Go back home. One can hardly imagine that he had to go through during. One can hardly imagine what he had to go through during his journey home. Some commentators have written about it, but we have to be careful. We should not speculate about the son's feelings. His journey back is not the main point of this story. More important is the meeting with the Father. And if we listen to the whole parable, we may presume that the younger son had bad feelings about himself during his journey home. If he looked at himself, he saw no reason for his father to accept him. Would it ever be good again between him and his father? Would his father recognize him? Would his father send him away? Of course, we know the end of the story. But the first hearers didn't. They must have heard it with astonishment and dismay. We read in verse 20, "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." What did his father do? We read it in five verbs. His father saw, had compassion, ran, fell, and kissed. The prodigal son did not dare to hope for ever one of these things. He would forever be thankful if his father accepted him as a servant. But now the son received rehabilitation, communion. Yes, regained his position as his child. What a miracle! This is what happens when a lost sinner turns back to God. A sinner who deserves nothing. You have no rights. You have only sins. Nothing will be wrong if we return to God in repentance. His father saw him. That means that the father was on the lookout. Why? Not to punish him. No, there was something else that was in the heart of the father. His father looked for his son, for he had compassion. Congregation, that is a word with a deep meaning. It is about the innermost feelings of God's heart. Zacharias sang about it with the birth of his son John. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God's tender mercy comes from his heart. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them with fear that fear him. Here we hear the secret, the mystery of God's judgment about a repentant sinner. No condemnation, but compassion. God's judgment is different because he is God. He is our Creator. He has the sovereignty to condemn all of us. But he is the God of compassion. His judgment is different. So you will be blessed if you take refuge to the Lord, if you trust and hope in the Lord. And the other three verbs, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. These three verbs are about seeking communion and sealing the communion. And what happened in this parable is the opposite of the customs of the ancient East. Always the younger came to the elder, and the opposite never happened, because that was humiliating. How different is the Lord? For the Lord, it is not humiliating to bow down over a wretch. The Lord is prepared to come to a sinner rather than a sinner is prepared to return to the Lord. Oh, it's always better to return to the Lord and hope in Him, because His tender mercy is more than you can imagine. Note the order in this story. The compassion of the Father is prior to the confession of the Son. It's a little hint, and we have to pay attention to it. God's compassion doesn't depend on the confession of sin. God does not set any condition to be compassionated. God is not merciful because a sinner confesses guilt. No, since God is merciful, He receives sinners. God's mercy and compassion are the source to welcome sinners. But it's also true that a sinner experiences God's compassion and mercy in the way of confessing his sins. And without confession, the prodigal son would never have felt Father's compassion. The son is welcomed by his father. The father extended his arms for his son. His more is welcome. The younger son perceived it. He perceived the mercy of his father. This mercy was a miracle to the son. It was far from natural. What did the son do now he was lying in father's arms? Did he reason that his confession of sin was not necessary any longer because he felt father's mercy? No, he confessed his sin. Do you know why? Because he felt a burden on his heart. A burden of guilt. He needed deliverance from it. And so we see the son lying in father's arms, in deep humility, confessing his guilt. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Young people, do you hear that the son did not complete his confession? He left out the words, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Why didn't he finish it? Did he change his mind? Did he think it is not as bad as I thought? No. You need to read it in a different sense. The son did not get the chance to complete the sentence. His father interrupted him. He said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The son could not complete his sentence because of the interruption by his father, for his father was merciful. That's also the reason the son received the best stuff. He received the best robe, a ring and shoes, things that show someone's dignity and glory. The prodigal son was restored. Eating and fatted calf happened in those days at a special event, when there was a special occasion to be merry. Well, according to his father, there is reason to be merry, because his son came home. His son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. There was communion between the father and the son again. It is an example of the communion between God and the sinner. There is joy in heaven about one sinner that repents. Perhaps one of us misses Calvary in this sermon. Maybe you miss the propitiation of Christ. The Father welcomes the Son, but the Father cannot simply be reconciled to His Son. God does not wink at sin. No, that's true. But this parable is not about the forgiveness of sin in the first place. The main point of this parable is about the secret, the mystery of salvation. And the secret source of salvation is God Himself. The reason why the worst sinner will be saved is because of God's heart. And there we find the miracle of salvation. The deepest feelings of God come into motion to save lost sinners, to save prodigal sons and daughters. With compassion, God gave His beloved Son to save sinners. God could not give more. He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that happened where the Lord put His footsteps. People came to Him and fell down at His feet. People had communion with the Lord Jesus. All of them were lost and were found. They were dead and made alive again. And the Lord Jesus is still the same. Today He is seeking sons and daughters, children of the covenant, who have to acknowledge and confess, "I have forfeited the fulfillment of the promises." How terrible! But God, so we hear in this parable. You can hear it in all the three parables, but God. That's the main point. There is a God who in Jesus Christ seeks and saves that which was lost. He seeks lost sons and daughters. God revealed Himself in the lost paradise. "Adam, where art thou?" And in the New Testament, God revealed Himself gloriously in Jesus Christ in seeking that which was lost. He seeks in love, because He gave His beloved Son, His only begotten Son. He sent His Son away to an earth in its lost condition. He became a curse and underwent excruciating pain. He bore the penalty that lost sons and daughters deserved, with the aim that which was lost will be found, with the purpose that which was dead will be alive again. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to marry. Here we read the marvel of the gospel. The son was found. Why does the Lord Jesus says found? The younger son returned home by himself. Yes, the son returned home, but not by himself. He returned home because the father had found him. The father drew him with cords of love. like we read in Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do not forget, God's mercy is prior to repentance. Through God's everlasting love, a sinner turns back. It is an important lesson to him or her who cannot believe that the precious blood of Christ is poured out for him or her. You cannot believe because of many burdens on your side. I suppose you are right. There are burdens of sins, guilt, unworthiness, and impossibility. There are many burdens, and the Lord is just if he passed you by. But do you know what faith learns? To look to the heart of the Lord. What is in it? Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of everlasting love, compassion. Only in God's heart do you find reason to obey the Lord and to return to the Lord, to seek repentance, to seek forgiveness of sin. The parable is about the compassion of the Father. Jesus shows us God's inner feelings, which are in his heart. There is a tender mercy in God to bring home lost sons and daughters. He knocks at the door of your heart and says, "Open to me and return unto me. Come now." How many times has the Lord come to you with the preaching of the gospel? Has he come with his compassion? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there any reason for delay? Is there any reason not to go? Is there any reason to think you are not welcome? If you hear who he is, you have no reason to stay away. Let it be your prayer. Lord, let me know thee as thou art. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. O Lord, Amen.